From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The polls have just closed in Iowa and Nevada, and we have word from two other key states.
Pennsylvania and New Hampshire have both gone for President Obama. The story that's unfolding so far should come as no surprise. The economy mattered to voters.
You know, I'm gainfully employed, and I'm having a hard time. So, you know, I just feel for all the people that are out of work.
In Congress, House Republicans have picked up seats. In the Senate, two incumbent Democrats have held on to theirs, Sherrod Brown in Ohio, and in Florida, Bill Nelson.
In Florida, people pick and choose, and somehow they have decided to honor me.
It's special coverage from NPR News. And we've had some remarkable changes in the Senate, a seat occupied for decades by Richard Lugar, a Republican. He was known decades ago, Melissa, as Richard Nixon's favorite mayor when he was the mayor of it. That's how long he's been a figure in Indiana politics.
And one of the cases where a longtime Republican was defeated in a primary by somebody who ran to his right.
Now, in truth, he was in his 80s and he hadn't lived in Indiana for some time, but he was one of the Senate's real experts on foreign policy. That seat has now flipped. The far more conservative Republican nominee was unable to hold it, and Democrat
Joe Donnelly
took it from him. NPR's Ron Elving is watching all this. Are the Democrats up a couple of seats right now in the Senate, or are they?
What it looks like at this point is that they are up several because we have them picking up seats in Maine. If, of course, Governor King ever does decide to organize with the Democrats, as we tried to ascertain earlier.
He would not be pinned down.
He would not be. But Governor King is still negotiating.
And Robert tried very hard.
Still negotiating. At any rate, there's that. In Massachusetts also looks like a very close race where the Democrats could pick up a seat. And coming back into the Middle West, Tammy Baldwin, the Democratic nominee in Wisconsin, is running a little bit ahead. I haven't called that race yet.
That was Herb Kohl, a Democrat seat.
That's right. So that would not be a takeaway.
She won that, yeah.
But the Democrats seem to be, with that Indiana takeaway that you mentioned, closing in on a possible three. They could lose one in Virginia, where Tim Kaine is trailing George Allen in the returns at this point, although we have not made a call there. Right. We still expect the Republicans to do well out in the Great Plains, Nebraska, North Dakota, Montana.
Now, the presidential race, we're still waiting on Florida, Virginia, Ohio.
And, you know, we've really only called one of the eight battleground states that were our big focus tonight, and that was New Hampshire, the smallest of the eight. In Virginia, we have almost 70% of the vote in, but we still don't have a call. In Ohio, we have only about a quarter of the vote in, and President Obama has a small lead there. Perhaps the biggest surprise is Florida, where 84% of the precincts are reporting, and yet it is about a 30,000 vote race statewide.
I'll raise you one. We're up to 87%, says the AP, and it's a lead of 40,000 votes for President Obama. And I don't know where the missing 13% of the precincts are. So,
well, we had been told earlier that they were coming from the southern part
of
the
state,
from the Miami metropolitan area. That would tend to suggest that it was good news for the president. He has gone from about a 20,000-vote margin to about a 40,000 in the last 15, 20 minutes.
Okay. NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Robert.
And we're going now, I believe, to Indiana and to NPR's Sonari Glinton, who's been covering that Senate race that we were just talking about where the incumbent Richard Lugar lost in the primary, and that has been a Democratic pickup. Sonari, excuse me, you're at Republican headquarters. This was not a good night for them with Richard Murdoch. He lost that race. What are you hearing?
Well, this was the one race that was in jeopardy on the ticket in Indiana. You know, when I chased both of these candidates around the state, and Joe Donnelly never mentioned rarely mentioned Barack Obama. He mentioned Richard Lugar far more than he mentioned the president, or even saying that he was a Democrat. And it was really important for him to pick up those Lugar Republicans, and he seems to have done that.
Yeah, we should mention that Barack Obama squeaked by with a victory in Indiana 4 years ago, but he lost that state handily, apparently. We have called that. We've projected that Mitt Romney has won Indiana. So we've got some ticket splitters here. We have people who voted clearly for Mitt Romney and also voted for a conservative Democrat, Joe Donnelly, for the Senate.
Yeah, and Indiana has a history of splitting tickets. You know, there's only two Democrats that's voted for, Johnson and Barack Obama. And in between there, there was, you know, Birch Bayh, Evan Bayh. There have been Democratic governors. So Indiana Hoosiers have a propensity for splitting their tickets, and it looks like they did that tonight.
Other races in Indiana that you've been keeping track of? There was a governor's race there?
There's a governor's race that tightened in part. That's tightened, but it still looks like the Republican is going to win. As a matter of fact, they're just cheering someone calling the race for the governor here.
Uh-huh. But we have not yet called that race, as far as I know.
Yes, no, we haven't done that. But that race doesn't seem to be nearly as tight as, I mean, as nearly a pickup for. Mm-hmm. Because of, in the last part of the race, money came in for the Donnelly-Murdoch race, and that sort of tightened the gubernatorial race, because those Lugar Republicans were sort of moving away down ticket.
Okay, NPR's Sonari Glinton in Indianapolis, Indiana. Again, we have projected that the winner of that Senate race is the Democrat. That's a Democratic pickup. Joe Donnelly has won the race for the Senate from Indiana.
And we also project Orrin Hatch, Republican of Utah, winning his Senate race to his seventh term. You're listening to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Polls have just closed in Iowa, Montana, Nevada, and Utah, and there's a great deal more counting still to do.
In the presidential race, it's still too close to call in Florida, Ohio, Colorado, Wisconsin, and Virginia.
In the House of Representatives, the GOP appears to be holding on to its majority.
In the Senate, Democrat Joe Donnelly has defeated Republican Richard Murdoch. Independent Angus King has won the seat being vacated by Republican Olympia Snow, but in an interview with NPR earlier this evening, King refused to say whether he would caucus with the Democrats or with the Republicans. It is has been widely expected, that he would sit with the Democrats, but he refused to go that far. For some voters in this presidential race, in the end, it came down to personality.
I think he's sincere, and I think that he's trying.
This is Joe Spick in Des Moines, Iowa, speaking about President Obama.
I think that it's tough for anybody there, and I vote more for the person rather than what I hear on the media every day.
Fellow Iowan Mary Linder had this to say about Governor Romney.
I think he is an extremely ethical, extremely intelligent. He's not an angry, vindictive type person. I think he's going to actually do something for this country to get us out of some of the problems that we're in.
In Worcester, Massachusetts, businessman Philip Morgan remembers his former governor as someone who reached across the aisle to get things done. So today his vote went once again to Mitt Romney.
I really believe at his core Romney's a moderate and has to present himself as a very conservative to be elected across the country, but I don't think that's really who the man is. So I think he would stay focused on the things that will make the country better and not worry about the things that are peripheral.
In Phoenix, Arizona, Jennifer Gonzalez says she voted for President Obama because she says he's the one who's helping my people. She's Hispanic.
I know he's having something for us. I know that he's going to bring more stuff towards our economy, to our people. So I trust in him a lot. So hopefully we get it. We get another 4 years in there.
And in Auburn, New Hampshire, though, Phyllis McCaugherty is hoping for a Romney victory tonight.
We need some change. I am tired of a rock star president.
Voters across the country reflecting on their pick for the White House today. And, Robert, we do have another race to call, and it's a big one. It's the race in Massachusetts for the Senate seat, and we are projecting that Democrat Elizabeth Warren has defeated the incumbent Republican Scott Brown. That is a pickup for the Democrats.
This had been Edward Kennedy's seat for many years. Scott Brown won the special election, defeated Martha Coakley, and now he had to run for the full term on his own. Elizabeth Warren, Professor Warren, as Scott Brown always referred to as, evidently emerges as the winner.
And known for her work with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
She helped create it, which is a feature of the Dodd-Frank financial regulation bill. So another Democratic gain, or Republican loss, let's put it that way, in New England, because there was one in Maine as well.
And on the House side, a Democratic pickup, the seat held by Roscoe Bartlett of Maryland in the 6th District, has gone to the Democrat John Delaney.
And so I think that was a case where Democratic redistricting help to disadvantage an incumbent Republican. It often worked the other way around the country. Joel Rose is in New Hampshire, in Manchester, and we spoke earlier with Jean Shaheen. At that point, we were up to two women senators, and we forecast Maggie Hassan being the new governor. What's going on in the House races where there are two women on the ballot there?
Well, those remain uncalled by NPR or as far as I know anybody else. Those are pretty close. Results are still coming in from around the state. You know, one race, I believe the Democrats ahead, one race, the Republican is ahead. So, but, you know, we're only seeing a relatively small number of precincts reporting in those races. So, you know, it's too soon to call an all-female sweep of New Hampshire yet.
We see Barack Obama winning in New Hampshire. Was it hard for him to win in Mitt Romney's backyard?
It was much more difficult than it was in 2008, that's for sure. President Obama won here with almost a 10% margin in 2008. This year, much closer. As you say, Mitt Romney is almost a favorite son of New Hampshire. He owns a home here in Wolfsboro. People are very familiar with him because he governed Massachusetts, and people got a good look at him there. And I talked to a lot of voters today who appreciate his ability to reach across the aisle when he was governor in Massachusetts to get things done, and they trusted him on the economy. But in the end, there was more support here for President Obama. And I can tell you that the room here at Maggie Hassan, Democratic governor elects, apparently the Democratic governor-elect's headquarters, is very festive since the race has been called for Maggie Hassan and also for President Obama.
We should say that New Hampshire does have a very prominent Republican woman representing it in office. Kelly Ayotte is the other U.S. senator, along with Jean Shaheen.
Right. Well, you know, and there's a... It's tricky to predict which way New Hampshire is going to go. You know, even going in tonight, we weren't sure. There had been a big Democratic moment in 2008. In 2010, there was a big Republican wave that swept a lot of Republicans into office in the state Senate and House and, you know, turned the legislature over to the Republicans. And so no one was quite sure which New Hampshire would show up at the polls tonight. But so far, it's looking pretty good for the Democratic candidates.
Okay, NPR's Joel Rose is speaking to us from Manchester, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, a state that we have projected Barack Obama will win. Robert, let's catch up on a couple of the other key battleground states.
Yep.
Florida, with 87% of precincts reporting. Last time I checked, Barack Obama up 0.5%, leading Mitt Romney by about 40,000 votes.
Almost 40,000 votes.
And in Ohio, key prize of Ohio, with 40% of precincts reporting Barack Obama up by about 3 percentage points over Mitt Romney, leading by about 100,000 votes. That's the last I saw. We're going now to Iowa, another state that was hotly contested, and to NPR's Elsa Chang. She's in Des Moines at an Iowa Democratic Party event. And Elsa, what are you hearing in Iowa? Where do things stand?
Well, things stand very preliminary right now. Very tiny percentage of precincts are beginning to report. It'll probably be another hour and a half, according to the Secretary of State officials I've talked to, before we see real results coming in.
Uh-huh. And this was a state that Barack Obama won handily 4 years ago, won by about 10 percentage points, I think, 6 electoral votes. A lot of early voters in Iowa, and they seemed, according to party registration anyway, it seemed like more Democrats than Republicans were voting early in Iowa.
That's right. According to the Secretary of State, about 66,000 more registered Democrats voted early than registered Republicans. And if you talk to the Obama camp, they say, well, that's credit to our much more sophisticated, much more expansive ground network here. We really pushed for early voting to happen. I talked to the Romney folks, and you know what? They just said, like, it's just too expensive to try to get votes that way. Republicans traditionally, at least here in Iowa, tend to turn out in much greater numbers the day of rather than as early voters, and they wanted to concentrate their efforts on getting people out on Election Day to vote.
One other race I wanted to ask you about, Elsa, and that's a congressional race in Iowa's 4th District. Christy Vilsack, wife of the former governor, Tom Vilsack, going up against the incumbent Republican Steve King. What are you hearing there?
That's a very interesting race. Christy Vilsack is also, you know, she's married to Tom Vilsack, who's also the current agriculture secretary. And really, it's put Steve King in this uncomfortable, unfamiliar position of having to defend himself against a very, very well-known Democrat here in Iowa who's backed by a lot of outside money. He's kind of a vocal Tea Party member who's probably one of the most conservative members of Congress. And what Vilsack has been campaigning on is that Steve King is so conservative, he does not represent Iowa. She's been trying to appeal to independent voters inside the district and trying to get voters to support her there.
Okay, NPR's Elsa Chang in Des Moines. Elsa, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And on to the battleground state of Nevada, NPR's Ina Jaffe is in Las Vegas, where we have a state that is contested for the presidency and also an interesting Senate race. What's happened so far today in Nevada?
Well, the polls just closed a few minutes ago, so we have no results yet. But I can tell you that about two-thirds of the voters who cast ballots in this election will have voted early. And of
two-thirds.
About two-thirds. We don't have final numbers on the turnout yet. But doing a rough calculation, that's in the ballpark. And of those early votes, Democrats cast 50,000 more of those ballots than Republicans did. So Democrats have some cause for optimism based on that.
Well, we should explain that, since the votes are still they're secret ballots, but we're saying that the parties get the applications to vote, or those people are registered by those parties. So the assumption is that that is how the early votes have gone.
Right, right. People are registered by party in Nevada, unlike, for example, in some Midwestern states, Illinois, for example, where I used to live, where nobody registered by party. But they are registered by party here, so when you vote, they can tell which party you were signed up for.
And we have just about enough time to mention the Senate race, in which the incumbent Republican Dean Heller is opposed by Democratic Representative Shelley Berkley.
Yes. If any TV screens in Nevada have not melted yet, I am amazed. The ads have been just scorching, and it's really been a tough race. It's attracted $20 million in money from outside groups, and it's really been a barn burner.
Okay. I know Jaffe in Las Vegas talking with us about the Senate race and the presidential race. Six electoral votes at stake there, and the polls have generally had that battleground state leaning toward President Obama.
And one more race to call in Ohio's 9th Congressional District. Remember Joe the Plumber?
Yeah,
Joe Erlebacher.
Absolutely.
He has been defeated by the incumbent Democrat Marcy Kaptur. She's keeping her seat. Joe the Plumber has not made it to Congress.
He became famous by having a conversation with President Obama at a campaign stop.
Yeah. We're going now in Ohio to NPR's Tamara Keith, who's in Columbus. Tamara, we've been talking about possibly what seems to be a widening lead for President Obama in Ohio, but still a lot of precincts that have not reported. What are you hearing?
Absolutely. I mean, we are still well shy. We're just over 50% of precincts reporting. So there's a lot of night left here in Columbus, and certainly here at the party for the Republican state Republicans. They are expecting a very long night, and in part they're hoping for a very long night because their candidate is behind.
Let's talk about some of the key areas of Ohio, in particular Cuyahoga County, which would be Cleveland, which President Obama won by, I think, 250,000 votes last time. It was pretty much his entire margin for the state. Have returns come in from Cuyahoga County, Dina?
Last I checked, they were lagging. So, and that is definitely an area where you would see strong votes in favor of the president, and they have been lagging, as they seem to do every election.
A lot of votes in Cleveland and a lot of time taken to count them. NPR's Tamara Keith in Columbus at Republican Party headquarters there. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Did we mention that Montana is going for Mitt Romney?
We did not, and we have not yet made a projection in the very hotly contested Senate race there with the incumbent John Tester and Congressman Denny Rehberg. You're listening to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The polls just closed in two battleground states at the top of the hour. Iowa and Nevada each has six electoral votes. And in this election, those votes could make a difference.
We have projected winners in two key Senate races, chief among them in Massachusetts, where Democrat Elizabeth Warren, we project, is the winner, and in Indiana, where Joe Donnelly, also a Democrat, has won that seat that was held by Republican Richard Lugar. In the House of Representatives, Republicans are retaining control, and at this hour, it looks like they may even pick up a couple of seats. That would sure be a disappointment to Democrats.
We're going to turn now to Colorado. NPR's Zoe Chase, who reports for Planet Money, is at the Republican Party event in Denver.
But why don't we, before we go to Zoe, make this projection, which is that in the state of New Mexico, we are projecting that Barack Obama has won that race.
Yes. Not surprising. We had expected President Obama to carry New Mexico with its five electoral votes, and now we believe that he has. Colorado's another question, though. That's pretty close, Zoe. What do you hear?
Yeah, Colorado is a crazy nail-biter. It has been so close. It's been close for weeks. They keep taking these polls, and it's totally split. The big thing in Colorado is the independent voters. That's, people are wondering which way those guys are going to break.
I'll tell you what, Zoe.
Yeah.
That the beautiful music is
isn't it lovely?
Yes.
That is Amarillo by Morning. I can tell you that
I'm
they're
sorry.
Playing right there, and they're in
I'm
Colorado, so we have severe geographic
you
problems.
You are so way ahead of me.
But the Republicans have a band. The Democrats have a DJ. You know, the Republicans are ready here for heartbreak or celebration with a country band. I'll tell you that.
You remember what the Soviets used to do to Voice of America? They called it jamming. I think the band is jamming you out right now. We can hardly hear you because
okay, I'm really sorry about that. It is loud.
All right. Well, when he takes a break, perhaps ask him if he might want to take a break. We can come back and we'll be able to hear you then.
Okay.
Melissa?
I thought they were playing Rocky Mountain High. They're in Amarillo by Morning. We're going to be joined now by E.J. Dionne, Washington Post columnist, and Matthew Continetti, editor-in-chief of the Washington Free Beacon, who've been with us throughout the evening. And I believe since we talked last, we have projected winners in a couple of key states. In New Hampshire, all three for Barack Obama, Pennsylvania, and now New Mexico. E.J.?
Well, there are a couple of things here. One is that if those are key, New Hampshire actually could prove to be very important if this tightens up. And as somebody pointed out earlier, New Hampshire is one of those states that has same-day voter registration. And that proved to be very helpful to Obama, particularly among young voters. He is not carrying young voters by quite the margin he did the last time, but he's still carrying them strongly. The other thing that you mentioned was the Richard Murdoch, Joe Donnelly race in Indiana. It's a case where the Tea Party cost the Republicans. It could cost them again. And they cost them in a larger sense because the Tea Party is rather nativist or what we'll say very strong in their opposition to illegal immigration, which created a situation in the Republican Party where Mitt Romney had to go well to the right on the immigration issue. And if the president does prevail tonight, he hasn't yet, but if he does prevail, Latinos are going to be huge in that victory. It appears at the moment that the only ethnic group within which the president actually may gain support is the Latino community. He swamped Romney, and that's why Florida is so close. Florida was thought to be a place where Mitt Romney was going to put it away, and it's really very, very competitive.
Matt Continetti, does the Republican Party have a problem here with the changing electorate and the results that we've seen so far tonight?
Well, the way that the Republican Party in the West and the South and in national elections has coped with this problem is by racking up huge majorities of the white vote. And, that's becoming a declining proposition as the demographics shift more and more toward a non-white or less white electorate, and that's what we seem to have here. So, I mean, who's to know what's going to happen? I will say this. It's exactly what Obama said. If you recall that interview he gave a few weeks ago where he said, well, if I do win, I believe to Des Moines Register,
the editorial board, right?
Who ended up endorsing Romney. But Obama said, if I do win, it's going to be because of my huge support among Latinos, and that basically points the way to a second-term agenda.
But the Republicans went out of their way to present Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, at the convention. They went out of their way to talk up the governor of New Mexico.
I would just say
Governor Martinez.
To Robert, it's hard for me to make a straight line projection from the kind of tough on border enforcement immigration policy to declining support among Latinos. Latinos are a large group. It may just be because they didn't buy Mitt Romney's economic message.
Yeah.
The truth is there are a lot of Latino cultural conservatives who may have actually been open to appeals on social issues that Mitt Romney did not make.
But
so you never know.
Mitt Romney talked about self-deportation. He took a very, very hard line and was pushed that
in
way.
In the primaries.
In the primaries because it was the one issue he could get to the right of Rick Perry of Texas on, who once upon a time looked like a real threat to him. And I think the immigration issue was about a larger attitude that the Republican Party conveyed toward Latinos. And they really got that message. And Obama did a lot of Spanish language advertising. He made sure they got that message.
Mara Liasson, do you see an Anglo party developing as opposed to a rainbow party?
Well, they can't be an Anglo party and hope to win the White House anymore. I think there was some thinking that maybe this would be the last cycle or maybe there'd be one more cycle where they could depend on white voters, but they knew the future was coming. I think the future arrived a little faster than the Republicans thought. I think in the primaries it was totally voluntary on Mitt Romney's part. Rick Perry crumpled into a heap. He did not have to be bludgeoned with a hard right immigration stance. Maybe Romney didn't realize that, but I remember at the time asking, you know, Romney campaign people, gee, to be this harsh against the DREAM Act and to do this, won't this haunt you in a general election? Oh, no. But I do think that the Republican Party, if in fact it loses this election and goes through a period of soul searching, will pay tremendous attention to the Latino vote in the future. Marco Rubio's star will rise even more than it already is. And I do think, as Matt said, this augurs well for some kind of compromise on immigration reform.
That's NPR senior political correspondent, national political correspondent Mara Liasson, E.J. Dionne, Matt Cotinetti. Thanks.
Thank you.
And you're listening to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News.
Support for NPR's election coverage comes from CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. From America's Natural Gas Alliance, supplying domestic energy while working to protect the environment. Learn more at anga.us. And from the Principal Financial Group, managing investments and working to help build dreams for more than 130 years. The Principal at dreamagain.com. This is NPR.
From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Florida, Ohio, and Virginia are too close to call.
Just one battleground has been put in the win column, New Hampshire, for President Obama.
And in the Senate, Ted Kennedy's old seat goes back to the Democrats.
You're listening to special coverage from NPR News. And we're joined once again here in the studio by NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. Mara, hi. And we just mentioned that New Hampshire is the one key battleground state that we have called for President Obama. Two other big states, Pennsylvania and New Mexico, which was contested as well, also we're projecting for Barack Obama. Where do you see the other swing states going at this point? We're looking at what looks like a widening margin for President Obama in Florida.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Ohio and Florida and Virginia are the other big enchiladas, and the president has had a couple-point lead in Ohio in the polls and tonight, and also in Florida, which was surprising. Florida was considered to be one of Mitt Romney's strongest states. We even see the same thing happening in Colorado. Virginia seems extremely tight. I'm surprised about Florida. It's something that the Republicans felt they had. It was the kind of the first big swing state they felt that had tipped to Romney, and it might not have. And I do think that one of the big themes of this election all along has been demographics versus what you might call the economic fundamentals. The political landscape looked very difficult for an incumbent. The economy was terrible, but he did have the changing face of the American electorate on his side. And boy, has he worked hard to exploit it and grow it and get it to the polls, and it looks like he's doing it in Florida.
And how exactly has that happened?
Well, first of all, he's targeted Latinos with extra special care. He used every tool in his policy quiver that he could, even if he was blocked by the Congress on the DREAM Act. He issued an executive action that allowed people, young people who'd been brought here illegally as children by their parents, to stay in the country if they were on the right side of the law and were enrolled in school or the military. He did everything he could to reach out to Latinos, especially since he had failed to pass comprehensive immigration reform, which was something he promised to do in his first year. He appointed Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court. I mean, he just did everything he could to send a message to Latinos that he was on their side. And Mitt Romney, for a variety of reasons, as we just heard from E.J. Dionne, did the opposite in the primaries.
Let's look ahead a little bit to what seems to be shaping up to be a Congress that more or less represents the one we have now. So far, we're looking at, I think, a net gain of two Democratic seats plus the main seat, independent Angus King, who's expected to caucus with the Democrats. In the House, possibly some Republican pickups, but not a huge wave election. So you're looking at a Democratic-controlled House, a Republican-controlled Senate, a Republican-controlled House, and a White House, we're not sure yet.
So people have said, oh, this election will be for nothing because the status quo will be returned. I really think that's what it might look like on the surface. But I think a lot will change. There are so many big problems waiting in the wings to be solved. The candidates decided not to talk about them very much. But I think the two parties will take some very serious lessons from this election, and they're going to come back to govern in a slightly different way. I just don't believe the country will put up with four more years of the exact same kind of gridlock.
Okay, NPR's Mara Liasson, thanks so much.
We're going to turn now to NPR's Brian Naylor, who's in Richmond, where he's watching of course, both the Senate race, but also a very tight presidential race in Virginia. And let me say, Brian, I'm looking at the Secretary of State of Virginia's numbers, reporting for the state, and what had been about a 100,000 vote lead for Mitt Romney in Virginia has shrunk to a little bit under 40,000 as some more of the Northern Virginia precincts have reported, and not all of them have reported yet. Have I got that about right?
That's right. I was looking at the same site, and there are still a lot of votes to be counted or to be reported, especially in Fairfax County in Northern Virginia, a jurisdiction of about 1 million people.
That's the big one. I think it's the biggest jurisdiction in the Commonwealth, actually.
And only about half of those votes have been reported so far. So what had been a larger lead for Romney has been shrinking. There's now a difference of about, I just did the calculation here, 38,000 votes separate the two. And in the other race that we're watching, the Senate race between George Allen and Tim Kaine, Kaine has taken a lead of about 24,000 votes. And again, those same Northern Virginia precincts have yet to report. There are also some precincts in Virginia Beach that haven't reported because there were such long lines awaiting to vote that when the polls closed at 7, they haven't been able to get them all in yet.
Okay, Brian, thank you. Virginia tightening on special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of Election Night 2012. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. The night is still young. The presidential race is still too close to call.
But there's good news for the Republicans in the House, where the GOP holds on to its majority.
And good news for Democrats in the Senate tonight in Massachusetts. Elizabeth Warren, we project, defeats incumbent Republican Scott Brown.
Also in Indiana, Democrat Joe Donnelly defeats Republican Richard Murdoch, who beat the incumbent Dick Lugar in a bitter primary fight.
We're going now to Iowa and to Governor Terry Branstad. Governor, are you with us?
I am.
We have not yet projected a winner in your state. Last I checked, Barack Obama was leading. He did win Iowa 4 years ago. What does it look like from where you sit?
I think it's going to be very close, and we've got a lot of very strong Republican counties in the West that haven't been heard from yet. Polk County is in. That's the Democratic stronghold. But actually, it looks like our congressman we have two congressmen thrown together here, Boswell and Latham, and Latham is doing very well. I think he may even win Polk County, and of course the rest of Southwest Iowa is Republican. So Tom Latham's going to win. Congressman King is going to beat Vilsack's wife, the Secretary of Agriculture's wife.
You're talking about Kristi Vilsack, uh-huh.
Yeah. So we're going to win those two congressional seats. I think the presidential race is going to go down. It'll probably be past midnight before we know the results on that, but I'm very hopeful. A lot of Iowans are very disappointed with Obama. He campaigned as somebody that would unite the country. Instead, he spent a lot of time blaming and attacking other people, and Iowans don't like that. They like leaders that make the tough decisions and balance the budget. I came back and was elected as governor by beating a Democrat that had borrowed money and put the state into debt, and we've turned it around, and we have a balanced budget, and we're going to reduce taxes and regulations and grow the economy, and that's what Republican governors are doing across the country.
Governor, one question. When you say you think it's going to go to midnight, because it's going to be close in the presidential race, have there been irregularities in Iowa? Are there serious problems with voting machines and delays?
Not that I'm aware of, although, you know, I know there are people looking at that. I'm not aware of any problems yet. There's groups on both sides that are carefully monitoring it. And our Secretary of State, of course, is the state election commissioner and county auditors. They're very conscientious people, and they try to do a good job. But it's been a very big turnout, and I think it's going to be a very close race. And Iowa has historically been very close in both 2000 and 2004. Obama did carry the state strong last time, but there's a lot of people here that have been dissatisfied with the direction the country's going, especially the debt.
When you look, state that believes
in you paying as you go, not borrowing money.
Let me just ask you very quickly. When you look at some of the, for example, the loss of the Senate seat in Indiana, that was Dick Lugar's seat for so many years, did the Republican Party go too far? Did it nominate too many candidates who were too far right to hold states that should be yours?
Well, I think what happened is you had a couple of cases in Indiana and in Missouri where you had candidates who just didn't run a very smart campaign that said dumb things, and those things ended up hurting them. So where we had disciplined candidates that did a good job and stayed on message and focused on the issues that people really care about, and that is debt and jobs, I think we're doing pretty well.
Okay, Governor Branstad, thanks a lot for talking with us. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, we did pick up a set of seats in North Dakota and in Nebraska in our area.
We haven't projected the winners in those states yet, but thanks for being with us.
We're not with you yet on North Dakota, so watch that space. Anyway, thanks a lot, Governor Terry Branstad, Republican of Iowa, where he says they're going to win some congressional seats, and he says it's going to be very close in the presidential race.
Yeah, and he mentioned Nebraska. We have not projected a winner in that race either. That's the seat.
Deborah Fisher, Bob Kerry race.
Exactly.
Yep.
Joined once again here in the studio by Andrew Kohut with the Pew Research Center, who's been tracking the exit polls through the evening. Shifts, Andy, what are you seeing?
Well, what we're seeing is a pretty interesting pattern in the national exit poll. Almost all of the groups compared to 2004, the significant segments of the public, went more in favor of Romney than they did McCain. And Obama lost support among men. He lost some support among women. youth turnout stayed high, but there was less support for Obama among young people, even though they turned out. And all across the board, and especially among independents, we see less support for Obama than 4 years ago. But Obama seems to be holding his own in terms of the national popular vote and may well win a plurality of the popular vote, because in the end, he did hold on to his winning coalition. He did carry young people. He did carry non-whites who showed up at the same high levels they showed up 4 years ago. He carried poorer people and well-educated people. So it's a combination of losses, but enough of a sustain among the Obama constituency for him to retain what appears to be a plurality of the national popular vote. That's not a projection.
Sure.
That's what the exit polls are suggesting.
And just as a reminder, 4 years ago, the margin was 7 percentage points. So there's flexibility in there. He could lose some of those constituencies.
And he did. And it doesn't look likely he will be at the 7% margin, but he could capture the national popular vote.
I just want to tell you some news from Virginia, where it's very close. The vote is very close. And everyone said before the voting or the vote count began, let's look at Loudoun County and see what happens there. It's one of the outer suburbs of Washington, which has gone Democratic. It went Democratic for Obama. It went Republican for the governor. Before that, it used to be mostly cows living in Loudoun County. It's one of these new suburbs. Here's the result so far with 83 of 85 precincts reporting in Loudoun County. Barack Obama, 69,790. Mitt Romney, 64,003. Obama is winning in Loudoun County with only two precincts left to report, but by a tiny amount.
Yeah, well, that's what I think we're seeing on the national stage. It's not as tiny as that, but it's much reduced from what we saw 4 years ago. But he's hanging in there. A good deal of this has to do with his personal image, and his personal image remains more positive than Mitt Romney's. A 53% favorable rating from people in the exit poll versus 47% for Romney. And when the exit poll interviewers were asked, who's more in touch with people like you, by a 53 to 43% margin, they picked President Obama over Governor Romney.
Wow. Well, it's shaping up to be very close. And right now in Florida, one of the other key states we've been talking about, 91% of the precincts have reported. President Obama leads Mitt Romney by all of
20,000 votes.
16,000 votes.
I'm seeing a little bit more than that. I'm seeing 21,000, but maybe our computers aren't thinking. But just by way of comparison, 4 years ago, he won Florida by 3 percentage points. 236,000 votes was the margin. So you get some sense of how much things have changed in the last 4 years. Let's go now to NPR's Ari Shapiro.
Is at Romney Austin headquarters in Massachusetts. And how are you doing, Ari?
Well, it's kind of quiet here. I got to tell you, it started out pretty crowded with a big enthusiastic crowd, but people have been trickling out. The floor is about half empty. You know, there are a lot of important states that have not been called yet, but the sentiment in this room is very somber.
Really? And was it? Did they hope, for example, for Pennsylvania? Was that really a disappointment to people when President Obama carried that state?
You know, I think a lot of people weren't doing technical electoral math. They were doing thematic math. They imagined either a squeaker of a race or a big triumphant sweep where David Axelrod would have to shave his mustache because he lost states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. This is not a big electoral sweep night. We don't know the results yet, but the paths to 270 for Mitt Romney are slowly narrowing.
I'm going to interrupt you right now. Melissa has some news for us.
Sure. A result in the Missouri Senate race that we've been talking about through the evening. Democrat Claire McCaskill has held on to her seat. We project she is defeating the Republican challenger, Todd Akin, the congressman who, as we mentioned, had gotten into some trouble with his comments about legitimate rape. And also a projection in the state of Minnesota. We do project that that will fall into the president's column.
The state of Minnesota.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is the upper Midwest, which is, so far, looking very good for the Democrats.
And, Ari, another state, Minnesota,
another
state that the Romney campaign had said they were going to put into play, right? Minnesota was technically on their map.
They were going to put it into play, but they didn't really spend any time campaigning there the way they did at the last minute for Pennsylvania.
NPR's Ari Shapiro at Romney headquarters in Boston. And let's go now to Chicago and NPR's Scott Horsley, who is at Obama headquarters at McCormick Place, I believe, on the shores of Lake Michigan. Scott, Ari was talking about what he called a very somber mood at Romney headquarters. What are you seeing there?
Melissa, the crowd here has been gaining in strength, and they've just started the formal pre-program for the night. We just had the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. And in between news coverage on the big video screens here, they're showing sort of a video scrapbook of the campaign. And I have to tell you, I'm having sort of flashbacks as I watch one after another rally. Then I say, oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, that's when it rained outside of Richmond and so forth. And I think a lot of people here in the crowd are having the same reaction. These are obviously Obama partisans, many of them who've traveled here from the places where these rallies were held. And so it's sort of a moment to relive the last few months on the campaign trail.
A nostalgia tour.
And it's funny because there's been a lot of that within the campaign itself. This week there was a lot of talk about the build-up to the rally last night in Des Moines, Iowa, just outside the caucus headquarters where Barack Obama launched his national campaign some 5 years ago. And there were a lot of the old staffers who've moved on to other jobs who kind of reunited for this. And they were saying, you know, back where it all began, and this is going to be the last rally, almost as if that were a period on the sentence. But, of course, if he's successful in this effort, it's really just the semicolon before a second term.
And, Scott, results that we're seeing come into a very, very close race so far in Florida, 92% of precincts reporting there within 2.2 percentage points of each other. Again, still unclear exactly which precincts have not reported those 8% that could tip the balance substantially either way. Robert? You've been looking at Virginia results as well.
I can't keep my eyes off these vote totals. Well, first of all, let's go to Florida, where we now have 92% of the precincts reporting. Barack Obama has 49.7% of the vote, Mitt Romney 49.5%. That's a margin of just a little bit under 20,000 votes, 16,000 votes or so. That's very tight, and it's about a 40,000 vote Romney lead so far in Virginia.
And a slightly more substantial Barack Obama lead, I believe, in
Ohio. You're listening to special coverage of Election Night 2012 from NPR News.